Are there things in your life that you just don't like doing? Like changing diapers? Yeah. There's certain things in my life that I just don't really care to do. Nothing against those in the medical profession, but I do not like going to the doctor and being poked on and prodded on and tested on. He's not to do that to me. I don't like that. Or the dentist. Have somebody hold your mouth open and drill on your tooth and smell them chicken feathers burning. That's what it smells like, isn't it? Yeah. And taste the... That is just not joyful to me whatsoever. Or scooping snow or mowing your grass for the 100th time. It just seems like it never ends. That's not something I enjoy doing. Who likes to unpack after a trip? I get home from a trip and I just want to crash, right? I don't want to unpack. I'm not talking about you, Nancy. I'm talking about me here, okay? I just can't find any joy in that whatsoever, right? Or sitting through a day-long training, listening to an engineer in his monotone voice spew technical terms that I don't understand. I find no joy in that whatsoever. And what kind of joy could I find in a two-year-old dumping a half a bottle of shampoo on the kitchen floor this morning? It's not funny. Guess who got to clean it up? There's no joy in that whatsoever. If you haven't figured out, I'm going to talk about joy today. Okay? What do these things, how do these make you feel? How do these make you act whenever you get put into situations that you just don't care about? Are you tired? Oh, the yawn. And you want to fall asleep and just remove yourself from the situation? Do you get crabby? And you have this inside, you just feel kind of irritable. Like you could bite somebody's head off if they asked you a question. Or you're bored and you're passing the time trying to figure out what you could do to make this a little bit better. Frustrated. Or maybe you just sit down and you pout. In Genesis, the 4th chapter and verse 6, when Cain and Abel brought their sacrifices to God, God did not respect Cain and his offering. And it says there that Cain was very angry and his countenance fell. Can you just picture what Cain looked like? In his non-joyous attitude, his countenance fell. His lip was sticking out. Maybe he was just this furious-looking mess. But you could tell, something was wrong with Cain. And God questioned him on that. You know, it never fails whenever you're not joyful. Somebody can recognize it just by the way that you look. Just by the way that you act and by the way that you talk. In the New Testament, the word joy is translated 5 different ways, and I wrote those on the board. They have 5 different meanings at certain levels, and I want to go through with them with you this morning. The first one up there, number 1, is pronounced kara. I think this may be the only one that I can pronounce. Kara. Okay, and the word kara means cheerfulness and having calm delight. Cheerfulness and calm delight. And I've tried to put scriptures with each one of these to give us an understanding of what these words look like in the text. So in Luke chapter 10 and verse 17 is when the Lord sent out 70 people to go out and do His works for Him. And they come back from telling people about Jesus and healing and doing certain things to help individuals. And this is what they said. Or this is what it said about them. The 70, and that's in Luke 10:17, the 70 returned with joy, with kara, with this cheerfulness, with this feeling of happiness, cheerfulness, okay? And they came back with joy saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. They had this feeling about them, I guess you could say. I think this is a verb, this cheerfulness. It's an action. It's the way that you act. It's the way that you present yourself. This joy, this kara that they had in being able to do the things that the Lord gave them to do. And if you back up a couple chapters in Luke chapter 8 and verse 13, in the parable of the sower, the parable of the hearts, and there's the hard or the rocky soil. In verse 13 there of Luke chapter 8, it says, the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with kara, with joy, or with this cheerfulness or this delight. Even though their heart was hard, they still had the ability to get the joy of the gospel, of the word of God, okay? And these have no root who believe, and we know what happens here in the parable of the sower, and after a while in temptation, they fall away. But to begin with, they had cheerfulness and they had delight in what they were hearing. And now in John chapter 16, in verse 20, this is in the context of Jesus talking to his apostles about him leaving, about going away, and their sorrow that is going to come because they're going to miss him. And he says this in verse 20, most assuredly I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice that he's gone, right? And you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned to kara, to joy. To this feeling of delight, to this having a good feeling about what's taking place, this cheerfulness. Because Jesus is going away, but he's giving something better is what Jesus is saying. And you're going to be blessed because of it. So the first word, and it's the most common used word in the New Testament, is kara, for joy. Number two. All right, ready? Agalaliasis. Shawnee, does that sound right? Agalaliasis. She took Greek in college, but things can be forgotten. This means gladness or exceeding joy. Or to put it in kind of a term that maybe we can get a feel for, is to jump for joy. Okay, so this is a really happy, excited, when Doug wins that Publisher's Clearinghouse and you see him running down the street with jumping with joy. This is agalaliasis, okay? That's what this type of joy is. Let's look at some scriptures. And this one will really make sense in Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 44, when Mary goes to meet with her cousin Elizabeth. Remember, they're both pregnant at the time. Mary pregnant with our Lord. Elizabeth pregnant with John the Baptist. What happens here in verse 44? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And that whole context right there, that's what that word means. Is he was so excited, so happy that he leaped for joy. Just hearing the voice of Mary, the mother of our Lord. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 13. Again, another time that this word is used, and there's only about three times in the scriptures that this word is used. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 13. In the context, Peter is speaking of the trials of life, and the end of those trials will be coming through the glory of Christ returning, or the context, you can take the point there, but he says in verse 13, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Exceeding joy. This joy that is so happy that you want to jump up and down. because we no longer have life on this earth and the struggles of this life. That's something to jump up and down for. That's something to have joy for, right? And that's what that word means. Agaliasis, whatever. But I want to go back to Luke one more time. Luke chapter 1 in verse 14. This is when John the Baptist's dad, Zacharias, is being told that he's going to have a son. And the angel of the Lord speaks to him concerning about John. And in Luke 1 and verse 14, this is what is said. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. Now here the word joy in the New King James is kara. This is the word that we studied first about having this calm delight. Zacharias, you're going to have this calm peace about you, this joy, because of what's going to happen. You're going to have a son. But the gladness is the same word as allegalasis for being exceedingly joyful. You're going to have this calm peace, but you're going to be excited about this son that you're going to have. And over in verse 64, after John was born, and Zacharias wrote on the tablet that his name shall be John, and he got his voice back to him. What does he do in verse 64? Immediately his mouth was open, his tongue was loosed, and he spoke, praising God. Can you just imagine what he was doing? He was excited. He was happy. He had joy in his heart because of what had just happened in his life. The third one. Euphrosune. Euphrosune. I'm going to test you guys later on these, okay? Is to put in a good frame of mind. To put into a good frame of mind, or to make merry or gladness. Only one time in the New Testament is euphrosune used, and that's in Acts chapter 2 and verse 28. In Acts chapter 2, we're all familiar with the day of Pentecost. Peter has been given the keys to the kingdom of heaven and the opportunity to share the good news for the first time. And he's telling the people about this Lord and Savior that you killed. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 28, I've got to get back over here. He uses a quote from the book of Psalms that David has made. And David said in Psalms, and Peter uses it here, he says in verse 28, "You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy," or have this changing of a mind, "in your presence." In your presence. In the presence of God, we have something that happens to us. It makes us think differently and act differently and be differently. In the presence of brethren, we should be the same way. We should act differently, speak differently, look differently. But David says, and Peter also said it, "You make me full of joy in your presence." Euphrosune, to put into a good frame of mind. When we put ourselves in the presence of God, we have that attitude change that was mentioned this morning in our class. The fourth one, kaukaomai. Kaukaomai. I'm getting good at this Greek thing, right? Now, this one means to boast, or to vaunt, or in good or a bad sense, to glory in something, okay? Now, that doesn't make sense, does it? To have joy to the extent that we boast about something, I have this joy. Well, Romans chapter 5 is where this word is used, in verse 11. Romans 5 in verse 11 says this, "And not only that, but we also rejoice in God," or the King James would say we have joy in God, or this boasting, or this I hate to say pride, but this glory in God through Christ Jesus, or through the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. The only way that we can have glory in God is because of Jesus Christ who saved us, and that's what Paul's saying here. And that is cool, because in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 31, he says it the same way, but in a different way. He says, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Same word, kalkomai, is used here for glory, just as it is for joy. Same exact word. So it's this glory, this joy that comes from having a Savior, and that we can glory in God because of that. The last one up there, anaimi. That looks like it's right, isn't it? And that means to get pleasure from. To get pleasure from. Have joy to the extent that we have pleasure. And it's used a couple times, or one specifically that I want to look at is in the book of Philemon, in chapter verse 20. And if you remember the book of Philemon, it is a letter written to him by Paul, encouraging him to take back Onesimus, his slave, who has run away. But when he ran away, he came and he came to the knowledge of Christ, and he became a Christian. And Paul's writing back to Philemon saying, he is beneficial to you in a different way now. Not only as a servant, but as a brother. And this is what Paul says in the context of that thought of Philemon. Please take him back. He says this in verse 20. Yes, brother, let me have joy, or let me have pleasure from you in the Lord. Why? Because I want you to take him back. Do this for me, so that I can have pleasure in knowing that you did what was right. Let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. So there we have it. Five different ways that joy is translated in the New Testament. All five of them, I think that we can probably have a little bit of that every once in a while in our lives. But the one that I want to focus on right now is the first one, and that is Kara. And why do I want to focus on Kara? Because Galatians 5:22 says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, kara, joy. If I'm not cheerful, brethren, in my life, if I don't have calm delight, no matter what situation that I'm in, the fruit that I'm producing is not of our spirit. I struggle with this. And I've had to study this out because I've been rebuked. I've been challenged. Because I'm not cheerful sometimes. When I'm put in situations where I just don't like doing something. And that's not the way a man should be when we have the joy of our Lord within us. Because Jesus says in John chapter 17 and verse 13, excuse me for my emotions. In John chapter 17 and verse 13, Jesus is praying for his disciples. And he says this, but now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my, Jesus' joy, his kara, his delight, his joy fulfilled in themselves. Let me read it again. I come to you in these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. What was the joy of Christ? What was his joy? His joy was to serve us to the extent that he died. His joy was to despise the shame, enduring the cross, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, for me. Sacrificing everything else for me. And if I am, as he says, to have his joy fulfilled in me, then I should be willing to sacrifice me, my selfish ambitions, sacrifice my wants and my needs for anybody else joyfully with delight. Why? Because I love you. Because you're special to me. Because you're family. Because you're a friend. So I need to be willing to give instead of take and have joy in doing so. In John chapter 15, 11, Jesus said this, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy," his joy was to serve, "my joy may remain in you, and that your joy," or your kara, both times kara used here, "may be full." May be full. I want to have my life full of joy, full of cheerfulness or calm delight. I think of that type of joy as being a parent sitting in the audience of a child's program at school. You have this peaceful, calm cheerfulness about you. You kind of can't help but smile. You kind of can't help but have this delight in seeing your children do things and hearing them do things. You know, it's just, it doesn't matter what's taking place around you. You should be able to have this happiness, this cheerfulness, so that you can serve others and bless them. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, I'd like to read this text as I close this morning. Paul speaking here to the brethren, he says, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with knowledge of His will, and in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, and that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy." With joy. With kara. With cheerfulness. Be filled with the knowledge. Walk worthy. Be fruitful. And be strong with joy. Whatever we do in life, no matter how stressed we get, no matter how uncomfortable we feel, or how yucky it makes us feel, we're to have kara, joy. So this I ask of you, brethren, is to hold me accountable. Because just like Cain, you will be able to see when Alan does not have joy. You'll know when I have that pouty, selfish attitude. Hold me to fire, because that's what we do for one another, so that I may walk worthy of the Lord. Let's sing our closing song.